stuff.
Yes!
Woo!
Here we go, the Create Podcast, starring beautiful, Tony-nominated, wearing a beautiful Parisian outfit.
Hey!
Kristen Hange.
That's me. And the world-renowned, incredible actress, stunning beauty, Natalie Roy.
That's me.
That's you.
Man, it's good to be us.
I'm not mad at it.
You know what's great about having your own podcast? You can compliment yourself.
And that's all the rest of the podcast is going to be.
Actually, we are being a little bit silly today, but it's really in alignment with the title of this podcast. So this podcast is called There's No Adult in Me Today. And let me tell you the story of how this podcast came to be. I woke up one morning and I felt silly. I felt so silly. Now, also, during this time I had been in Paris, I had been doing all the things that almost like you would let yourself have permission to do if you didn't have any adult responsibility inside of your body, right? So I was like sleeping in. I was having a lot of sexual fun times. I was eating a lot of bread, a lot of sugar, doing all the fun debaucherous things, right?
Yay!
Yay! So I kept saying to Kristen, is it okay? Is it okay to have this much fun? Is it okay to like not wake up early in the morning and do all my emails? Like, is it okay to have a few weeks where you just are silly and follow your charm? And the funny thing is, this is all we ever teach. All we ever teach is follow your bliss, follow your pleasure, follow your charm, follow your desire. Those have something for you. That's life asking for itself. But we've noticed even in ourselves, the reason we teach that is because we always have to remind ourselves of that, because really, we have a lot of fun and a lot of play and a lot of pleasure, but we also have a lot of overworking and a lot of over-responsibility to being responsible, really.
Yes. Yeah, Natalie and I, and I've shared this before, that I have been conscious in my undoing of my workaholism, and when I'm not paying attention, I can notice myself hustling or shooting myself.
Mm.
And I noticed that I should do this first. I should finish all my emails. I should, or even building a system of reward where the good thing I get to do happens
after
I've done the thing I don't want to do.
Yeah.
Which is actually, and this is what I've been dismantling while I've been here in Paris, that's a part of me that is trying to earn my worthiness. So if I really want to stand in my worthiness, it's not about dividing into what do I want to do versus what do I think I should do. And that should part of me is actually me building a separation from allowing my heart lead me,
yeah,
which is keeping me like out of my divine seat. So every time I create that separation, and then two, I don't let my spirit guide me. I am saying that I actually believe in the world of form more than I believe in the energy, no matter how much I might profess that.
That's right? Exactly right.
And so it's been really fun to watch myself and catch myself and say, oh, baby, because I know my next level of evolution is about standing in my own inherent worthiness, where I'm no longer trying to earn validation from the world or validation from myself. And when I say myself, I actually mean I'm not trying to prove something to myself that I'm deserving of love and good things.
Right. And so part of the reason we're saying there's no adult in me today is, you know, children play without guilt.
Mm-hmm.
Children follow impulse without shame,
yeah,
or thinking they're doing something wrong. There's a certain point in our maturation process where we start to shut down the imaginative, impulsive, naturally joyful parts of ourselves in order to be good, responsible, respectable, appropriate. You know, the list of these words go on.
And for what and for whom? So that's a really fun thing to think about. I was listening to Paul Selig this morning as I was walking around his Book of Mastery, and he was saying, first of all, nothing is real. Everything is invented. Start there so you can see your conditioned systems.
Mm.
And then you'll start to see why you created these things. And I love when Abraham Hicks says, there's nothing serious going on here.
Right.
So we build these walls of seriousness. We build these, like, fake conditions to punish ourselves by. We build these narratives that don't serve our hearts.
Mm.
And so when we can witness that we've built something that doesn't serve us, then we can start to dismantle it, to get back to that original childlike joy. So, I show up at Natalie's the other day, and she's beaming. Her face is like the sun. And I was like, what is going on? And she tells me this.
So, before Kristen had got here, we had had a little beautiful night with friends in Paris the night before, and we had stayed up to like 3 a.m.
Like you do.
Having like lots of wine, looking at the Eiffel Tower, just, you know, being in our bliss. And so when I woke up the next morning, I mean, you know when your senses just feel a little dull, like, oh, maybe I had a little too much fun the night before? And so immediately the thing was like, you know, do I do my workout? Do your morning practice? There was like all these things that like I should do if I was being a responsible girl. And all I wanted to do was go to the boulangerie. And this man, he used to be a Michelin star chef and owned this fabulous restaurant in Paris. And then he just decided,
yeah.
And he opened this little, it's like a closet where he bakes bread and sells it. And I mean, I just had to go and meet him and have this bread. So I bought a huge loaf of bread. I was so inspired by this man who was just in his childlike joy of how much he just loved baking bread. And I went home and I took my bread and I put my jam on it and I ate it with such abandon. And it unlocked something in me. It unlocked, like, what else wants to happen now? You know, there was a mischief. There was a mischievous, like, ooh, I did something naughty. You know, I ate bread. And there was something that got unlocked that then the next thing I wanted to do was, like, move all the furniture. And in this apartment that I'm in, there's this full-length mirror on one side of the apartment. And on the other side of the apartment, there's this beautiful view of Paris. Like, this beautiful view of all of Paris, the Sacré-Cœur, the Eiffel Tower, the whole darn thing. And all of a sudden, I just put on music, and I was dancing like I was on So You Think You Can Dance, like the finale. Like, I am not a dancer. Like, I just want to preface this by saying, like, I like to sometimes go take, like, a Zumba class or something, but I am not a dancer. But you would have thought, and I was, like, going for the trophy on, like, the top dance show. I was so into myself. I was so into how my body was moving. I couldn't stop looking at myself in the mirror and, like, loving how my body was moving. Now, mind you, my, like, little bread belly was, like, sticking out of my pants, and I was loving it. I was jumping and leaping and doing ballet and dancing all over the place. And it was this combination of being with myself and then turning and being with Paris and dancing with Paris and dancing with myself. And then they have this statue, this like head of some sort of Greek god. And it just, I literally looked at it at one point and my body was vibrating and tingling with the joy I was feeling from dancing. I looked at the statue and I swear it was smiling at me. I swear I was like, I'm in on the secret. The statue's alive. It's all alive. It's all looking at me. It's all for me. I'm a magician. Oh my gosh. I was so turned on. And at the height of this insanity, Kristen shows up and she looked in my eyes and she was like, what happened to you? And as I was telling her about, like, Kristen, it's all alive. I was dancing with the statue. It was smiling at me. I could feel it in my body. And Kristen was, like, standing up, like, rubbing her thighs, being, like, touching her hair.
I got so turned on. I was like, yes, yes, tell me more. Tell me, yes. And it just got me so excited. And she was like, there is no adult in me today. And I wanted to, like, put my hands in the air and say, this is what life is for. This is the whole point.
The whole point. And that level of joy and surrender,
yes,
to how big,
yes,
and good and joyful, yes, and sexy and over the top it can feel. Kids want to do everything in the biggest way. Mm-hmm. You ask a kid what they want to be when they grow up. Astronaut, president, world-winning, award-winning dancer, whatever. There's no limits on the dream. There's no limits on the imagination. There's no limits to I have to be a good dancer to dance. There's no limit to I'm not good enough at this, so maybe years later I'll do it. There's no limit to the expansiveness. And that's where the joy is.
Well, I got so turned on by Natalie telling me this that I went outside on the veranda. So I was like looking at the all of Paris and I was like, I must at this moment make a joy list. I must make a list of all the things to me that sound like the most joyful thing I can do. And the first thing that came to my mind is I want to go buy a huge giant canvas and I want to get naked and paint my body. And then I want to push my body up against the canvas and turn it into a piece of art because it sounds like fun. And then I got really excited thinking about the idea of if art and creativity is for us to give us joy, just the way relationships are for us to give us joy, the way food is for us to give us joy, the way that friendship is for us to give us joy, that when we get out of that relationship with joy and then try to use those things for different means is when we have perverted what the creator of existence made them for.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, when I get a conditional relationship, say, with a lover, where I want something from them and in that have created some sort of tension where all of a sudden I can no longer be in a joyful relationship with them because I have created some sort of condition that has now caused me pain, I have taken something that's for joy and made it for suffering, right? I can do the same thing with food. Here comes food that is for delicious bread and jam in my mouth. But the moment that I get into, oh my God, if I eat this bread, it's going to make me fat.
Yeah.
And I got to deny myself this and I got to only have that. And now I am using food to create suffering.
Mm.
I've taken what is good and created separation for from its natural intention. And then the same thing with my creativity. When I'm worried if the screenplay is going to sell or if I'm going to book that job or if I'm ever going to quote unquote make it,
yes.
I have taken something that is for joy and for heaven and for playfulness and I'm using it for suffering. And I have done it to myself when I could have been in heaven.
That's it. And that's the power of not being an adult. Is that you're using everything in its true form.
Mm-hmm.
You're using yourself,
yes.
Your body, your playfulness, your energy in its true form. It made me think as you were giving those examples of like when someone is taking the soil or the land and putting pesticides on it in order to, you know, do different things or make more money, that it's kind of the similar thing of like we misuse that thing that we've been given for money, for gain,
yes.
For profit, for
yes.
Different things. And I think about this for so many artists. We do the same thing with our service. Like
ooh.
If I show up, in my case, as an actor to an audition, that's an opportunity for me to be of service to something that someone wrote that's dear to them, to something that could provide a certain kind of perspective or healing or opinion on the planet. I'm just there as service. And the minute I make it about, I want someone to like me, I want to get paid for it, I want it to give me something back, I've perverted the service.
That's right. And sometimes our service is to be contrast. For example, like I was just up for a movie that I did not get, but I did hear clearly, be of service to this process. So I'm going to give you a vision. Say your vision out loud. So I'm trying to, in the most clear way as possible, say the vision that I received from Spirit to say it out loud.
Yeah.
But here's how it can be of service. If they hear that vision and it's not in alignment with their vision, then I have provided them contrast.
Yes.
Which helped them know more what they do want.
Yes.
So I get to be of service. All I have to do is be a clear channel. And if my job is to provide contrast, that does not say anything about my worth or my value.
No.
So actors can think of that too. If they go in for an audition and they just open up and they do what they do, if they don't get the part, they served the project because they provided contrast by showing the director a different choice.
Yes.
So that the director could get in more alignment with their vision.
Right. So not getting it is as much service as
getting it.
And when we get rid of the adult in ourselves, mm-hmm. we actually know that.
And don't we know that about romantic partners too?
Mm.
Right? Like, we actually know, like, say you have a love affair with someone who you know isn't the person, you can absolutely 100% enjoy the love affair for who this person is and also enjoy the contrast when you know, like, this isn't my ideal, this is not that vision of my ideal person. I know that there are things here that are not in perfect alignment, but I can enjoy all the things that this person is and let the contrast serve me. Right?
Yes.
So as opposed to that contrast putting me into suffering.
Or thinking I did something wrong.
Right? I'm just using it as information.
Yes. And I'm actually just using it to say, oh, my job in this scenario was to play the role of the person who didn't get it.
That's right.
And there's another scenario where I play the person who does get it. And can I hold it all? Like the dance.
Like
sometimes I'm dancing with Paris. Sometimes I'm dancing with my own hot body. Sometimes I'm just dancing with whatever muse is inside of me. And I'm just here to exude the joy of getting to be in that dance. And it really comes down to true childlike unconditional joy is a joy that doesn't need anything in return. It doesn't need anything to happen. It's there and it's available and it's just waiting for us to just step into it.
I totally believe that inside true childlike joy is where all our genius is.
Yeah.
That the more that we can dismantle the part of us that is really bought into some of the world's rules and get deeper into that childlike spirit, it's that child who actually is the source of all of our abundance.
That's right.
It's that child who's the source of our joy, our creativity, our spirit.
The reason that child goes, I want to be an astronaut, is because it knows it can be.
And because it sounds like fun.
The reason the adult says, well, I didn't go to the right school and I don't have the right grades and it's like, you've just put a limit.
Yes.
But the kid inside of you knows what's possible.
That kid is connected to infinity, which knows that there are no limits.
And it has a creativity inside of it that says, yeah, I get that it seems like it has to work this way, but I got another way. If you really want to do this thing, I got another way for you to do it.
Yes.
You know? It was making me think when we were talking about contrast, something I was listening to Abraham Hicks say the other day, that they were saying, the thing that's the issue with you all, with us all, is that we actually think the contrast is a bad thing.
Right.
But they were describing it as if your car is like going down, like about to plunge to, you know, to its death on a road that's like gonna go off a cliff, aren't you glad when you have brakes? And the contrast is sometimes just the brakes to go, oh, not this way. Not this way. This way isn't good for you. So let us stop you now so you can back up and go a different way, right? So much of the time when something doesn't feel good to us, all it is an indicator of if you keep going down this road, you'll get more of this not feeling good.
Mm.
But right now, we're giving you the gift of these breaks to go, or you could have a dance party, right? You could go down this road of suffering and obligation and appropriateness and people-pleasing, or the contrast, the thing inside of you that goes, oh, is that really all this is about? Oh, is that really all that I'm here for? That's the thing that's calling you to awaken the childlike joy that was like, what do I want to do today? What do I want to create today? What do I want to play today? What crazy outfit do I want to wear today? Have you ever seen kids on the street and you go, oh, their parents let them dress themselves today?
Yes.
Because they're wearing like the princess whatever.
Yes.
And crazy mismatched. It's like there's a sparkle of creativity that wants to be expressed, and it's playful and it's joyful and it's nonsensical. But we get so deep in making everything make sense that we lose our ability to be in that completely unconditional, joyful expression with life.
And what I have heard so clearly, and it's coming through, I always feel like when the universe wants to have a conversation with you, it comes through many channels. So no matter where I turn this entire vacation, I keep hearing the same message, which is make art for the fun of making art. Mm. Make it because it delights you and not to get anywhere.
Mm.
And the more that you can make it to delight you, the more it will be able to serve the whole.
Yeah.
So I think of Einstein. He said how he figured out the mysteries of the universe was he stood like a child before the universe and asked questions about how it might work.
Mm.
Like his ability to stand in wonder and awe.
And curiosity
is actually what led him to be able to unlock these secrets.
Mm.
So what genius might we be able to bring to our lives, into every area of our lives, if we could be like a child in it?
Mm.
What would happen? Are we brave enough to be like a child in our relationships? Like, I'm just going to tell you out loud how I feel. Because that's what a child would do. Or with money, right? Could we be like a child with our money? What might that do with it?
Right.
Right? And not childish. Seth Godin has this great quote about the difference between childish.
Like and childish, yeah. Yes.
But to be a childlike in our creativity, how might that transform our lives? And it could be a fun exercise just for like one day. Like today, there is no adult in me.
Mm.
What do I want to do now? What do I want to do now? And that moment to moment listening to the impulse is actually communication with your spirit.
Mm.
It's that spirit that's been trying to get in touch with you your whole entire life because it knows how to direct you. So your ability to be moment by moment and not plan your day, but just say, and now what I want to do, and now what sounds like fun, and now what would be exciting, has the ability to not only lead us, but transform us and give us a feeling of deep intimacy with our soul and the entire world.
Mm. That's it. And it's so interesting to think that childlike energy is actually the pathway to intimacy.
Yes.
Intimacy with life, that we're no longer saying things are good or bad, right?
Yeah.
And creating separation of, well, yes, I can have the bread, but only on Sunday brunch, only once a week,
yes.
Right? We're creating rules and separation and regulations.
Oh, we love to create rules.
But an intimacy has to live outside of obligation and rules and that kind of structure. It has to live in the place that is fluid and open and trusting and full of faith and full of excitement of knowing that you can take your foot off the gas because you're not actually the one driving the car. But you are the one that gets to put on whatever music you want and put your head out the window and scream joyously and get to take in all the scenery along the way.
Well, that sounds like fun.
Right?
Yeah. I often feel like the relationship we are most often lacking is the one with our own soul, that playful spirit inside of us.
Mm-hmm.
And because we feel like there is something lacking and we don't know what it is, that's when we get into hustle because we will feel out of control because we feel like there's something lacking. We don't know what it is. We will label it as, oh, I think it's success in this form or relationship in this form or money in this form, and then go drive towards that thing. But the thing we're actually missing or lacking is an intimacy with our own playful childlike spirit.
That's it.
And when you really connect there, suddenly you feel like the richest person in the world, the most successful person in the world, the most loved person in the world. There's nothing
yes,
lacking.
There's nothing lacking. And I can tell you, you know, having this weird dance party out of nowhere after 3 weeks in Paris, I mean, my body is a little rounder and curvier than normal because normally, you know, I'm working out and counting every calorie and, you know, being, as the yogis would call it, very rajasic, very all or nothing,
mm-hmm.
with kind of like diet and food and exercise and all these things. And being here has just been an exploration of pleasure, an exploration of the present moment, an exploration of what feels good in this moment and not having a rule for my body. And so it was so fascinating for me to see my body in the mirror as this different kind of body, this curvier body. But man, did I love how it felt to move her.
Oh.
The rigid body just didn't feel as good to move around.
Oh.
The shaking of my hips that happened when there was that little extra jiggle did a little something for me.
Oh, that's sexy.
It's a permission. It's a permission to not be perfect. It's a permission to not get it right. It's a permission to dance like nobody's watching. It's a permission to unlock the silliness that is the child. And if you could start unlocking that in your art, if you could start unlocking that in your presentations, if you could start unlocking that in your parenting, if you could start unlocking that in your audition process, I mean, who would you get to be?
Who do you get to be?
Who does the world get to experience when you activate the child in you?
And when you activate that childlike spirit, it's actually irresistible.
Irresistible.
Right? And it activates others. It turns other people on. It makes people...
What makes you happier than watching a baby laugh?
Nothing.
Nothing in the world. And you cannot help but laugh too. It's so joyful.
Who was it that said you can tell an enlightened master by the sound of their laughter?
That's it.
And that's so good.
So all the kids know.
all the babies know.
All the babies know. If you have kids in your life, go hang out with them.
Yes.
Ask them if they could do anything all day, what they would want to do. And then go do that.
I'm really into that idea of at least one day a week, say there is no adult in me today. And just letting that childlike charm take you there.
Right.
And if you have kids, you're right, you can just... be like, today I'm going to play with you.
Yeah.
We're going to play all day.
Yeah.
What sounds like fun now?
You know what is hilarious? It took Kristen and I 3 days to record this podcast because all these things kept being fun to us and we never got around to it.
Yes, that's right.
It kept being so fun for us to be like, let's go in this clothing store. Oh, let's go over here. Ooh, let's go by the Seine. We always had it on our list and it took us 3 days to get there because there was no adult in us.
But the timing all worked out perfectly, as it always does.
As it always does.
All right. I got something for you. Mm. We could sit here and be smart. Mm-hmm. Or we could wrap up this podcast a little early. Mm-hmm. It's been close to a half hour.
Yep.
And let our friends go play with their childlike joy.
That's exactly what wants to happen.
And you and I could go play in our childlike joy.
Mm. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
I have so much joy to be had.
Friends, we love to empower you to play, to dance, to sing, or take a nap. Just look in the center of your heart and say, what would feel like the best possible thing at this moment?
Enjoy your joy.
There's a whole buffet out there, and it's waiting for you.
Thank you so much for listening. We love to feel like we have friends all over the world in you who are committed to doing their dream on the planet.
And if you liked this podcast and you want to find out more about what we're doing or who we are, our pop-up classes, our online classes, you can check all of that out at thecreateseries.com.
And if you want to be part of our Facebook community, you can go to the Create Community page. That's C.R.E.A.T.Community.
And if you loved this podcast, why not share it with a friend?